Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
Stack the sleigh. So good. Teenagers, you got to help people out, all right? Noah, what do you want for Christmas? Anything. Socks and jocks it is. For everyone, every teenager gets socks and jocks. That's great, because Noah said some gibbets for your Crocs or something, you know? Maybe Crocs. Maybe we could buy Crocs for every teenager in the Redlands. No? Is that a yes from the teenagers? Yeah, see? They're cool, man. Anyway, so grateful that we have a church that's so generous, and seeing Stack the Sleigh, it always makes me happy. Always get very excited this time of the year. Hey, it's great to be back. First time in a few weeks, I've had a chance to preach. It's actually been really great having a break, and I would like to say that I got a chance to catch up on the podcast, listen to Josiah and Bella's words over the last couple of brilliant messages, and then Gary's word last week. How good was Gary? I mean, down the line, just talking about how to be right with God, just be out of right standing with God, nothing between you and God. If you didn't hear his message last week, I just want to highly encourage you, go back and listen to that, because I think sometimes we get it all wrong as Christians and forget that's what it's all about, being right standing, being right with God, that we can just be able to go to God with confidence, knowing that there's nothing standing between us. How good is that? And today I'm actually going to be sharing a message that's been on my heart over the last few weeks. As you know, we had a little break, a bit of a holiday, went down to Sydney to celebrate Uncle Bruce's life and his memorial. And, you know, when you go to funerals, you sort of have moments, don't you, where of reflection when you're hearing about a life, and it's sort of, you know, over a couple of hours, an entire life is kind of brought together with people's memories and their speeches. And people say all these sorts of lovely things. And I know for myself, when I sit in a funeral, I always think, I wonder what people would say about me. You know, like if I was to, what do people say about, would they say he looked like a hobbit? Oh, you know, he was short. He was, you know, like what would people say? Would they say nice things? Would they have, would it all be positive? And the one thing that really kind of stood out to me as people were sharing all these lovely things about Bruce, well, it kind of challenged me a bit about like what separates me as a follower of Jesus. What would people say to actually say that guy was definitely a follower of Jesus? Like, what would the attributes be that people would mention? Have you ever thought about that? Like, if people were talking about you and you're a Christian your whole life and they mentioned some things, would it be that if they said you were kind, that would make you a Christian? Or maybe you're charitable or you were really generous? Or, you know, I mean, all those things are great. But as I was sort of listening to this funeral and all these things, I had this sort of moment. I was thinking, you know, what separates us? As followers of Jesus, if we were to pass away, what would people say about us? People go, oh, they were a follower of Jesus. They were definitely a follower of Jesus, without actually saying those words. And today I want to talk about something that I think as Christians, there's a stamp that needs to be, almost like a stamp of approval. You were a follower of Jesus, okay? And that thing I'm going to talk about today is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Something we don't often talk about, but we need to, because forgiveness is needed in this world. And Jesus was the perfect example of forgiveness. In fact, the gospel message itself is encapsulated in forgiveness. This God that came to earth to forgive us of our sins so we can be reconciled to God the Father. It all is found in forgiveness. And the reality is, as we see what's going on around the world, when there's wars that break out, especially in places like Israel, on that Gaza Strip, I've been watching this, I think there's over 5,000 deaths now, and counting. The reality is that that fight, that argument, that war has been going for millennia. And there was a period of time, a couple of thousand years ago, that a Jewish rabbi came into that space and said, hey, you're doing it all wrong and this doesn't work. What you're doing here doesn't work. And he challenged the social norm. He challenged what was going on in that part of the world 2,000 years ago. He said, hey, I know that you live by this idea, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, because that's ultimately what's happening. Constant coming back and forth. There wouldn't be a family or a family line that hasn't been impacted by hate or war on either side. My great-grandparent was impacted by, and so it's like, I'm hurt, so I'm going to hurt you. And then it's like, well, I'm hurt, I'm going to hurt you. You did this to my family, I'm going to do this to your family. And that's just what we actually see. But reality is what's going on right now is just the rejection of Jesus' teaching. When Jesus came, he had such a unique message that was so offensive, like Gary talked about last week. He talked about how Jesus' message was offensive to the people. Jesus' message was so counterintuitive. It was so opposite to what the people knew. It got him crucified. They killed him because of his message. And I want to look at that message today because we've got to remind ourselves of what Jesus was all about. And as followers of Jesus, I hope we are striving constantly going, Jesus, I want to be more like you. I want to actually mirror your life. I want to be like you, Jesus, in everything that I do. And this is actually what happens in Matthew 5, 38 to 39. As I said, they're still living this eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth thing there. He says this, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Talk about offensive. I don't know about you. If I was down in Capalaba and someone slapped me, I'm not going to turn around and go, hey, have an ugly go. Like, you know, there's this, that's not a human nature, is it? Like, you get slapped, you got game on. There's this fight within us that goes, I'm going to retaliate. I'm going to return the same weight of what was just given to me or done to me, an injustice. But there's something about Jesus' teaching. He's saying, to put out the fire, you're going to have to do something radical, something extremely radical. He actually continues on after this passage. He says, you've heard that it is said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you just love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus' teaching is so hard. Like, truthfully, I want you to think about just this last week that you've just had, okay? You've just got to church. Maybe you had a fight in the car with someone. Maybe you've had a morning with the kids that you're like, oh my gosh. Maybe you had a week at work and there's just that one work person that drives you mad. And you're like, if they could just leave, I'd be happy. Maybe you've come into contact with family or friends. There's just someone in your world that just grinds your gears. Think about that person. Now I want you to think about Jesus' teaching. How did you love them this week? How did you actually love that person this week? Or did you sort of live in this space of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? Are you still frustrated? Are you still annoyed? Jesus says it straight, and he's always so down the line in his teaching. He says, the gate is narrow, and if you want to find it, you're going to have to outwork something in your own life that I have outworked for you. And that stamp of knowing that you're a follower of Jesus is you're quick to forgive. Forgiveness is on your life. People would say they forgive people and move on. They know how to forgive because the gospel message, the good news of Jesus is a forgiveness message. Jesus forgave us so that we could extend that forgiveness to others. And I think sometimes we forget that Jesus constantly points this out. He's like, hey, it's great that you love people, but if you love people that love you back, is it really love? Think about it. The fruits of the Spirit, we know that the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, all these amazing things, right? They're the result of the Holy Spirit within us. They're the overflow. But who knows, you can outwork the fruits of the Spirit for people you like really easily. Your best mates will say, oh man, they're so loving, they're so generous, they're so kind, they're so funny, they're so this, they're so that. But can they say that of your enemies? Could your enemies say that's what they are as well? See, it's very easy to have the fruits of the Spirit when you love people that love you back. But Jesus is saying, hey, even the tax collectors, even those sinners, everyone does that. If you're a follower of me, you actually have to be someone who loves those that hate you. Whoa. And the reason that this message has sort of stirred up my heart this week is because I was reminded that 3 years ago, Beck and I had just started here. We kind of got asked to look after this church for a couple of months, and it wasn't even really on my radar to pastor a church. And we were here, and I was dealing with my own unforgiveness in my heart and dealing with a situation within my own family, which was at a point which has hit a real crossroads moment. And I had an issue with my own mum. Just frustration, years and years and years of frustration had built up, and there was a phone call that happened that just was the final straw. Has anyone had that sort of moment with a family member? Like, maybe you don't have to put up your hand, okay? Some of you are like two hands, amen, right? Like, leg up, like, you know, like you just like, man, like my entire being, I can't handle it, right? And when it comes to Christmas, you've done the same thing over and over and over again. You go and tolerate those that you're supposed to love. And then you leave and you go, we just did the same thing again. Nothing changed. The reason I'm bringing this message up, my prayer is that this Christmas will be different. That somehow you'll understand the full understanding of God's forgiveness for you, and your heart will be so free that you'll be able to pass it on, just like, and free others as well in your family. And so it actually got to a point where my mum and I, it was a trigger point, and I know that we all have our stuff, right? Like, we all have our stuff. And I didn't know how to deal with it, but it got to the point, Beck will testify, we'll test this. I got to the point where I said to Beck after a phone call, I said, we're not going to Christmas. Like, we're done. I'm done with my family. We're not going to Christmas. Just as I'm starting to pastor, great. You know, like, you know, this is like stirring up in my life. And I'm like, I can't do it anymore. I can't deal with this anymore. It's too much. And I remember calling my mum and saying, you know, we got to figure this out because we're not coming to Christmas. And it got to that sort of point. But I want to talk about how forgiveness can set you free, and I want to share a bit more of that story and how that unfolded. But the truth is, I think sometimes when it comes to forgiveness, we all want to be forgiven for our stuff, but we don't want to extend that forgiveness to others, right? Like, if I do something wrong, you have to forgive me. Please forgive me. But if you do something wrong, I am not forgiving you. And Jesus puts us on a level playing field. You know, he says we're all the same. We're all the same. And the reality is, most of us, when we actually cause strife in someone's life, we don't mean to. Do you know what I mean? Like, we didn't mean to cause offense. Like, we didn't mean to stir the pot. We didn't mean to get under someone's skin. We didn't mean to fire them up, but somehow it just happened. Anyone ever gone into a situation trying to do the right thing and then it ends up being a terrible experience? Gosh, I'm the only one here. Maybe I'm out of the order. You, Josiah? Thank God you're with me. All right, that's great. But I want to share that I've often done this. Like, I'm just very naive to people sometimes, okay? And I'm sorry as you're past it. By the way, if I've ever caused offense, if I've offended you, please come and talk to me. I won't even know, probably, you know, like. But I remember this time a few years ago that I had this great intention that actually caused pretty massive offense. I had taken down a bunch of young adults to Hillsong Conference, actually. We had a couple of cars that road tripped all the way from Brisbane to Sydney. And I had this great idea because we were rolling into Sydney late in the evening. And there was one of our guys in our crew was Korean. And he's always talking about Korean barbecue. And we've got to go to Korean barbecue, right? You know, Korean barbecue where you just cook up every bit of meat you possibly can find over the charcoal. And some of you are like, oh, how good. And so I'm like calling like this guy, Jill. I'm like, Jew, we're going to do Korean barbecue. He's like loving life. I said, Sydney will have the best Korean barbecue, man. And I've looked one up and I'm like, so I'm calling all the cars. Just follow my car. We're going out for dinner. Okay. It's going to be a midnight dinner in the city of Sydney. And everyone's like, great. This is awesome. I'm not telling anyone where we're going. I want to surprise everyone. And so we rock up to this restaurant and we walk in the front door. And all of a sudden, one of the girls in our group just starts crying, like all hysterically, like she's quite upset. And her friend's trying to console her. And she just leaves. They leave the restaurant in the middle of Sydney City and they've just gone. And I'm like, what's going on? And I find out that that girl is like a vegan. And not only, I mean, she's a really, really passionate vegan to do with animal rights. And this is just meat everywhere, right? It's like displayed on the walls. It's just, and you know, and I'm like going, oh my gosh, Jew, my Korean mate's like, this is awesome. Let's get some ox tongue, you know, like, and we're just like, but here's the thing. She's gone for a couple of hours. I had no idea this is her story. And she comes back and I mean, I could have gone there, oh, well, you know, vegans this or whatever and made it. But I was so cut. I didn't mean to cause that pain. And I remember saying, I'm so sorry, Demi. And she was so devastated by it, but she goes, that's okay. And she forgave me. And there was no it didn't blow up or anything. But I thought that could have been a terrible experience. Where she could have held all these grudges, how dare you, should have known, you know, everyone knows I'm a vegan, everyone knows this and that, and you took me to like a slaughterhouse. Like, you know, there's this. And fair enough. The reality is we all make mistakes and we all need forgiveness. And when we get forgiven, we've got to realize that our responsibility, if we're a follower of Jesus, if we say we follow Jesus, is to extend that forgiveness to others. To actually go, hey, I'm forgiven. I'm going to forgive you quickly as well. I'm not going to hold grudges here. I'm going to find a way to forgive and move on. I'm going to find a way to move on. You know, quite a few years back, I had a mentor and he said this statement to me and it stuck with me and I hope it sticks with you. Because we're talking about unforgiveness and how people have offense and we get offended with each other and we get annoyed with each other and how dare they do this and how dare they do that. And all this offense can stir up and all of a sudden you have fractured communities, fractured families because of offense. And this mentor once said to me, he said, as you need to understand that in someone's story, you are the villain. Every one of you needs to hear that. In someone's story, you are the villain. And you can't escape that. You are the villain. You might be a really good person, but someone may have been offended or hurt by you, maybe a relationship that didn't work out, and you've had to break that off. Now you're the villain. You're not a bad person, but in their story, when it comes to you, you're the bad person. You're the villain. And it puts us on a level playing field because anytime I start thinking I'm better than someone else, I've got to realize, hey, I ain't that much better. I've done stuff that has affected other people in a negative way. I don't want that to happen, but it just happens in life. And when we realize that we all need forgiveness, it helps us forgive others. Jesus was constantly teaching on forgiveness. It was his core message that we need to forgive those who have sinned against us. In fact, Matthew 6, 9-15, he teaches us to pray and he says this. This is how you need to pray. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. It's like, it's tied in. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Snap. Like that is such a harsh teaching. That's offensive. Like that's the sort of stuff that got him killed. But it's the truth. And sometimes we can live our whole life and we go, I'll forgive that person, I'll pick and choose the people I forgive, but I have offense towards someone and I'm going to hold on to that. Because they deserve it. I'm not giving you that one. But God's like, you have to. You have to let it go so I can then forgive you. You have to set them free so I can set you free. This is actually what it means to follow Jesus. To forgive constantly. And I understand that right now, some of you are sitting here going, you don't know my story, Az. How dare you? So I'm thinking, I'm going to get a lot of emails this week, okay? People, how dare you? Don't know my story. You know what I've been through. You don't know what people have done to me. And can I tell you, I understand. I understand the pain of what it's like when you've got a story where someone has done something unjust in your life. I work with teenagers every day in schools and I hear the stories, the atrocious stories of what young people are going through, and I get it. Every person here has a story. Every person has a story. And you might feel it's your right to hold on to that resentment. Can I tell you, or that unforgiveness? But can I tell you that unforgiveness, as you hold on to it, it is slowly killing you. And God wants to set you free of it. He wants you to be free. He wants you to know how much he loves you. He sent his only son to die on a cross for you so you can be free of your sin so you can extend it to others. And you might be thinking, well, how is it possible? How can I forgive others? How can I forgive those that have done wrong against me? Time and time again, Jesus talks about it in the scriptures. He says, hey, when it comes down to it, if man tries to do it himself, you're going to fail. But with God, all things are possible. We're talking about something supernatural here. That's why it's the power of the gospel. It doesn't make sense, but those who have experienced it, they cannot deny it. In fact, Peter comes to Jesus. He's like, obviously got an issue with someone because he says to Jesus, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and my sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? He's obviously got an issue, okay? He brings it up. He's like, Jesus, there must be some kind of tap out on forgiveness. There must be an amount of times I should forgive because I'm done, okay? I am spent on this person. They keep hurting me. They keep doing the wrong thing. Is it seven times? And Jesus' response says this, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And if you're sitting there right now going, great, there is a tap out number. 77. Don't just start drawing lines, okay? 5, 6. This is Jesus' way of saying there is no limit to forgiveness. You need to constantly forgive. And then he tells this story. He tells this parable. He says this, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. He said, be patient with me, he begged. I'll pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have showed the same mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. Okay. It's really quiet in here. To be a follower of Jesus, you have to forgive. It's that simple. I want to share with you a passage of scripture that actually teaches us how to deal with finding reconciliation amongst those that are also followers of Jesus. Next week, we're going to talk about wisdom and a bit more on forgiveness, but I just want to focus on those that claim to be followers of Jesus and you have grief with, you have unforgiveness with, you have stuff going on in your life, like myself with my mum. I love my parents. Let me make that really clear. I've got great parents. We just clash a lot. And over the years, stuff had built up and built up and built up and built up. And I couldn't handle it anymore. But I wanted to reconcile. I wanted to see good things come out of this relationship. And I even remember calling her and saying to her, hey, mum, I know you love God. I love God too. But we don't seem to have anything in common. Like, we need to figure this out. And I said, we need to catch up. It actually talks about this in Matthew 18:15-16. It gives us a great little outline on how you can restore things that are broken. And maybe before you go into this Christmas season, maybe you want to try this. Maybe you actually want to step outside your comfort zone and say, you know, nothing else has worked. Maybe I'll try God's word. Maybe I'll trust it to be true. It says this, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. In other words, if he listens to you, you've reconciled, everything's great, and you have figured it out. No one else has to get involved. I think what happens, problem with us as people, we often get offended, or we get some kind of offense in our heart or frustration in our heart. And instead of going to the one that causes offense, we go to everyone but the one that causes offense first. We go to our connect group, our life group. We go to our friends. We go to our family. We go to our hairdresser. A hairdresser who knows nothing about this, but you just tell them everything. And the hairdresser's like, how dare they, you know? Tell your barista, tell everyone, but not the person that caused offense. But Jesus says, hey, first things first, go to the person that caused offense and deal with them directly. Go and do that. And that's actually what happened with my mum. And I actually called her. I said, mum, I love you, but we've got to deal with this because I can't do this anymore. I need to meet you somewhere neutral. And so we found a pub halfway between the Gold Coast and Toowoomba. I said, you're going to drive. I'm going to drive. My heart is this. I just want you to tell me. I actually said to her, I know I've caused you hurt because I knew there was tension there. We all know that we caused just equal hurt when you've got that frustration and disconnect. I said, I know I've caused you hurt and I actually want you to tell me everything that I've done. I want you to tell me straight, and I'm not going to try and defend myself. I want you to give it to me. And then, Mum, I'm going to listen, and then I'm going to tell you what's hurt me over the last 15 years. And I said, my hope for that day is at the end of the day that we can pray together, we can reconcile, and we'll be coming to Christmas. But if we don't do this, I can't go forward. I'm not going to pretend and put on a smiling face, and we need to figure this out. And so we did. We met at this pub. We sat down in like a cafeteria section, and 7 hours later, we prayed together. But can I tell you, that 7 hours was a lot of like just chatting like this, and then there was moments of screaming and moments of tears. I'm talking every emotion you can possibly think of, 7 hours of it. And we both just took it. And at the end, the only reason we kind of, I think we ended, was because they had to kick us out of that area. And I feel sorry for the publican, because he's like, who the hell are these people? Like, what is going on? Like, why does he keep getting angry and she's getting angry? And I don't know who these people are, right? And at the end, I remember saying to Mum, I think we've got everything out. I said, I just want you to know I love you and I forgive you. She's like, I'm the same. We prayed together and it set us both free. It set us both free. Now, you might go, you don't know my story. That would not work or fly in my family or whatever. I'm just going to show you what the Bible says. Try this. It says if that doesn't work, it goes on. It says if that doesn't work, it says, but if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. In other words, if you can't figure it out amongst yourselves because there's so much angst there, get some good wisdom and counsel around you to go with you. Like, go to a counseling session. Get someone that can mediate on your behalf, that can actually see both sides without kind of any kind of side to take. To mediate, once again, this is people that follow Jesus, okay? Two people that say they follow Jesus. And let that mediator bring some wisdom to the situation, to hear both sides and share their thoughts to bring about reconciliation. If that doesn't work, it says this, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. This is when you come to me. Don't come to me first. That's a really interesting thing, isn't it? I'll go tell the pastor. Have you even talked to the person? No. Well, God's way is go to the person, then find wisdom, then go to the church and ask your pastor then to be part of it. Because, hey, if you want to get to that stage, we would love to sit with you and pray with you and be part of that. That's fine. But this is the process. And then it says, after that, it says, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. In other words, it's like you've done everything in your power to show forgiveness and bring about reconciliation. If the other party doesn't want to know, it's okay. You can set that free. You are free. It's up to the other person and you can move forward. That's God's way. But forgiveness is God's heart. Forgiveness is God's heart. I'm telling you, after that conversation, it has set my mum and I free. Do we still annoy each other? Yeah. Because we're the same person. It's actually really frustrating. But at the same time, I know how much I love her and she loves me, and we just that's how it is. There's some things that just happen that way, and you got to deal with that. If you're feeling broken today because of unforgiveness or hurt towards someone, can I ask you this week, go and extend an offering of an I'm sorry. Be the bigger person. I'm sorry. I know I've done what I've done. Maybe it's just saying, I don't know what I've done to cause offense there, but I can tell that there's an issue here. There's something disconnect. I'm sorry if I've done anything. Do you want to tell me something? If that person then gives something back to you, you've got to be prepared to take it and maybe say, I'm sorry again. Even if you don't agree, people take offense to stuff that actually you had no idea. It could be the way they grew up. It could be a trigger point, things that trigger you. You may have no idea. But this week, extend that arm of, I want to reconcile because you also follow Jesus and I don't want to have any kind of disconnect here. James 5:16, it says, therefore, confess your sins. Confession of sins is simply saying sorry to each other and pray for each other so that what? You may be healed. We've got way too many broken people in church hobbling around hurting because they've never ever dealt with this. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I think sometimes what we do is we actually think that I am deserving of my hate and anger and malice and anger and all this sort of stuff because I've been hurt, so therefore I'm going to hold on to it. I am worthy of my pain and I will hold it like a badge of honor. Understanding the scripture that just says, hey, if you have a heart like that, you're just doing the devil's work. That's not of God. In fact, Jesus taught in the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Romans 12:9 says this, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What powerful scriptures. And if you just read that last line, in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and you're thinking, that's right, I'm going to get even by doing good, and they're going to get so frustrated, they'll be burning with rage because I'm good and they're not. Ever heard that? I've heard that in church. Understand, heaping burning coals on the head is actually in regards to a Jewish culture of coals in the home. It actually brings life to a person by putting coals on their head. What do I mean by that? What would happen in little homes, they would have hot coals to cook food, to keep the home warm. It was the life-giving place in the home where the fire was. And sometimes the coals would go out, they'd go cold, they would die. And a neighbor would go to a neighbor's house and say, can I please have some hot coals to restart the fire and bring life back to my home? And they would have a on their head, they'd put the hot coals in their plate and they'd walk back home and it would restart the life in their home. So when you love your enemies and you do good to those and all, guess what? You're lighting a flame of life in their life. They may not understand it, but that's what God does. He lights life in our life when we don't deserve it. That's what he did. It's powerful. Absolutely powerful. As we round out this year, I want you to go and consider forgiveness this week. It's not my words, it's Jesus' words. It's not easy. He said it's a narrow gate, not many will find it. It's hard. But those who find it will have life eternal and understand what it means to truly live while we're here on earth. As I said, I don't know your story. I don't know your story, and your story might be so horrific you're like, as I can't forgive. I want to, but I can't. Well, let me tell you a story about a man who was innocent, did no wrong, and after 30 years, he started his ministry. And for 3 years, he proclaimed the good news. Everywhere he went, he brought life. He healed the sick. He opened the eyes of the blind. He sat with sinners. He never judged. He loved unconditionally. He was perfect. And the people arrested him. They treated him as a criminal. He was spat upon and mocked. He was put in a public place. He was whipped to a point where they tore the flesh off his back. The scriptures say he was unrecognizable because of the beating he took. He then was nailed to a Roman cross. Nails through his feet and his hands. Crucified alongside criminals deserving of death in a place like a garbage tip. He was thrown out like rubbish. Taunted. beaten and bruised, a man that only did good. The greatest injustice, the greatest crime to ever be committed was done to this guy who deserved nothing. And Jesus, after being under such extreme pressure to the point of sweating blood on the cross, with only energy to say a couple of words, his final breath, a chance to give back some to those who deserved to be punished or maybe cursed or ridiculed for what they were doing to him, knowing he was God. Jesus, his response with his only breath, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know what they do." They don't know what they do. Forgive them. Jesus' teaching about forgiveness in a moment is displayed that it's possible. These guys that crucified him, they had no idea what they were doing. And Jesus knew they were now deserving of the death penalty and so much more. And Jesus' response is, "Father, forgive them. Father, I love them. Father, they're messed up, but I love them. Would you forgive them?" And that's the Jesus we serve. When you think you don't have the strength to forgive others, understand that Jesus showed us an example on how. And that's the God we follow. What I want to do right now, I'd love us to all stand as we come near the end of this service. In this life, sometimes we get mistreated and we have things that happen to us that are unexplainable and just downright wrong. We've all been through stuff that we wish we hadn't. And often wonder why God allows these things to happen to us. And often I believe it's just refinement. He wants to bring the gold out of us to see what we're made of. Do we truly trust him? Do we truly follow him? In fact, we're not promised a life of happiness when we follow Jesus. We're actually promised that it's going to be tough. My prayer is that you will find your healing today so you can extend it to others throughout this next season. How do you get healed? You confess your sins to one another. You come to God and you say, "God, I'm sorry. I'm repentant. I know I'm a messed up person. I'm deserving of the death punishment. I'm thankful you took it on my behalf on the cross. You were innocent." That's what he did. But it's actually between you and God. It's not you and your pastor. It's between you and God to get right with him. To say, "God, would you set me free? Would you forgive me and help me forgive others?" And you can pray that yourself. We're going to sing this song, Gold, because it talks about refinement. It talks about new wine, new hope. The new wine it talks about in this scripture, in this song, is in reference to the Holy Spirit. When you get right with God, when you say, "God, I'm sorry, I repent, please forgive me," and you've received forgiveness, he also gives you the Holy Spirit that gives you the ability to forgive others in a supernatural way. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for us all right now. But after I pray, if you want to just get right with God before you leave and go, "God, I'm leaving it here. I'm actually letting go of my offense. I'm letting go of this. I'm letting go because you asked me to, but help me to extend it to others." If you want that in your life, I want you to step out of your chair. I want you to come down the front. Now, all that is just you saying, "God, you publicly died for me. I'm just going to publicly let you know that I'm dying to my selfish ambition. I'm letting go." And allow God to minister to you in that moment while we sing this song. But let's just bow our heads. If you're here today, just first and foremost, and you've never received the love of Jesus, understand Jesus died on a cross for you to set you free of all the stuff, all the guilt and shame in your life. You know, you're not perfect. Maybe you feel messed up, you feel broken, and you feel lost. Well, understand this. Jesus loves you. He died for you. And he said, if you want eternal life, and you want to be set free, and you want a new start, you want to become a new creation so you can take this life on with him, all you need to do is repent and say, "I'm sorry. I want to follow you." If that's you today, I just want you to raise your hand because I want to pray with you across this room. If that's you, "I need to know Jesus. I want Jesus." Just raise your hand. If your heart's just going, "I need Jesus," just give us a little wave. Yeah, man. I see that hand. It's amazing. It's amazing. And over here as well. So good. Yep. Anyone else? A couple of young men here. Just saying, I just want to follow you, Jesus. We're all going to pray this prayer real quick. We're going to pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, I thank you for the cross. I thank you that you died for me. I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I'm sorry for the mess I've made. Please forgive me. Wash me clean. Make me new so I can follow after you. Thank you for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give him a round of applause.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.